there from coming out, but I do want to let everyone know that it is a little chilly. So if you are planning on coming out and being outside for the ceremony itself, we do say dress warmly. Dress warmly. Also, if you want to come down and park your car in the parking lot, you can do that as well and listen. Tune in, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and we'll be doing the whole ceremony starting at 5:30, going straight up to 6. We'll be broadcasting the whole thing without interruption on the air as well. The lead up for it, however, we are going to be talking to several people who are associated with the Aspire Server View Foundation and various other organizations associated with it. And right now, I am joined by Nancy and Nancy. Is that right, Nancy? I got Nancy Sorensen, and I've got Nancy Myers of the Aspirus Riverview Hospital Auxiliary. First of all, thank you so much for joining us in this nice, brisk fall weather here today. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
We appreciate it. So we got a few things we do want to talk about right now. First of all, why don't we go ahead? This is the 21st annual Lights of Love ceremony, and so let's go a little bit into the history about this, and we'll be talking to Nancy. Now, which Nancy are you?
I'm Nancy Myers.
Nancy Myers. We'll be talking to Nancy Myers about the history of this event. So we'll turn it over to her, and she can tell us a little bit about the history.
Okay. This basically started because I moved here from Michigan, and we had done a similar program in Michigan, and at that time, Diane Pokrant was our president, and I more or less said, we sold these for $3, and she ran with it. And it really escalated. We had many fundraisers. She went whole hog, let's put it that way. It was a wonderful experience for all of us, and at that time, the money strictly went to the cancer center. So that's basically how it started.
Okay. All right. Back in 2001, excuse me. Right. 2001 is when it started, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
All right. So there you go. A little bit of history about that. I just want to remind everyone that we were actually here last year. We were able to join in on the festivities. We had a great crowd out last year. It was cold, but there wasn't any snow, so I guess we're getting a little bit more this time, but that's okay. If you want to stay in the parking lot, of course, we do encourage you to do that. If you still want to join in and check it out when we do light up the tree, it's a very cool sight, so stay tuned for that as well. Now, we also have a little bit of news from you two about the Aspirus Riverview Hospital Auxiliary. It's about the dissolution of the auxiliary. What's that all about?
Yes, it was time. You know how things are going. We're getting old. We couldn't get the people to help. Our mission actually has kind of changed. We started getting volunteers, but we couldn't do that anymore. The hospital now takes care of that with all the bureaucracy and all that. They have to. And fundraising is taken over by the foundations. And so we just were going old, and it was getting time, and COVID didn't help. The people aren't coming back to volunteer since then. So we were started in, 1954?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so we ran to 2022, so it was 68 years. Wow. And so it was, and they raised probably millions of dollars for the hospital for equipment and scholarships we had. Yep. And millions and millions of hours we volunteered, right? We still are volunteering. Some of our students are still volunteer, but it's sad. We were sad to see it go, but it was time.
Yeah, it's always one of those transitional things. You know, sometimes certain groups, they fill a need, and then now it's the time that's been filled with other things. So what, I'm just kind of curious, because I personally don't know a lot about it. What all did the auxiliary do? You touched on a little bit, volunteering, fundraising. What else was it? What else was it about?
That was mainly what it was about. All of our monies, of course, we would get wish lists from the hospital every year. And our money, of course, then would go back into the hospital to provide extra things that they maybe couldn't get through their budgets. And it was just also, I think, the camaraderie of the people working together. One of our big fundraisers was, it was called Christmas at the Ridges, and that was huge. And we would have many people. That was a sad thing to have to get rid of, but we understand that what is happening, people just aren't able. And when COVID hit, we were actually, volunteering was done as of March 2020. And so kind of now they're just getting back into it, and there is some volunteering in the hospital, not a large amount of things because they
like more.
Yeah, they don't have the people.
Right, okay.
And people with COVID, the masks, they can't come back for, say, 4 hours and wear a mask again. And they have families that, you know, certain issues just start popping up. So it's hard. And we had, as far as dissolving, we sent out a ballot to all of the members in a preceding letter. And overwhelmingly, nobody wants to be in charge.
Isn't that the way it is, right? Yeah, so we love what's going on. We love the organization, but... Right. You do it. I don't want you to do it. Yeah. So, well, it sounds like even though you are, it is dissolving, everything sounds like you had a very good run. I mean, that's a long time to be a support for the hospital here. Went through a lot of changes, of course.
That's
of course, it's changed hands many times throughout the years, and all these things change. But I'm glad to see that you're both still here, and you're here to support the Lights of Love thing as well, the event here. And as we, you know... I do want to, if I give you a chance, you know, since I've got you here, and since you're folding up the auxiliary, is there any thank yous you want to say over the airwaves here, or to the people that are starting to gather here about what you've worked with over the years, or anything like that?
Well, I think the big thing is the support of the community. It has always been, and that was the big thing with our Love Lights starting way back when we started. We had fantastic community support, and I think that is a major, major thing.
Nancy?
And to all those that volunteered, we can't thank them enough. They were just super. And just to let you know, our legacy is going to continue on. The monies that we had left over, we donated or put in a fund. It's going to be a perpetual scholarship fund. Through Mid-State, our mission statement was to serve the hospital and the community. So this way, we put it into Mid-State because we thought that keep the money in town. And so it's for scholarship. We'll have two scholarships, $1,000 each right now. And that'll go to somebody that's in a healthcare field. And the idea is to keep them in the community. So hopefully, our legacy will continue. So you'll still hear, hear the auxiliary.
But. Yes, it'll still be there. That's wonderful to hear. I'm glad to hear that it's not going away. It's still there. The spirit is still there, of course.
Yes.
And there'll still be volunteers, of course. They still need volunteers for all sorts of things here.
Right.
So that's just, it's just changed a little bit. So thank you, Nancy. And Nancy, do appreciate the time letting us know a little bit about the auxiliary. And where it's going from here. So we do appreciate that. Everyone out there, we are going to take a quick break here very shortly. I do want to let everyone know that we have interviews lined up here basically till about 5:30. So stay tuned. Next up, we have Nikki Williams coming here from the Aspires Riverview Behavioral Health. My mouth is cold, and it can't work anymore. This is going to be a long night. So keep listening, everybody. We are here live at Lights of Love, the 21st annual tree lighting ceremony. So come on down if you are brave, want to brave the cold. Also, you can stay in your car and listen to us here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We'll be back in about 2 minutes here here on WFHR, locally grown radio. All right. Well, thank you. Oh, we're back on the air. Oh, look at that. And welcome, everyone, to WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are broadcasting live from the Lights of Love tree lighting ceremony, the 21st annual. It's very exciting. We are glad to be here. The good news is the wind has died down a little bit, Let's hope it stays that way. The snow has stopped as well. Oh, I'm hoping. Oh, if we can keep it like this, this would be very, very nice. Come on down if you are wanting to come down. We've got the tree lighting ceremony start. The ceremony itself starting at about 5:30 tonight. If you want to come in on your car, listen on your radio here on WFHR, you can do that as well. You can listen from home. Just stay tuned. We'd love to have you check this out. It's a very cool ceremony. If you can come watch it, it's also very nice to see outside here as well. We have our next interview up. We've got Nikki Williams here from Aspirus Riverview Behavioral Health. We're going to talk about a few things here. First of all, thank you, Nikki, for joining us in this lovely, balmy weather today.
Yes, thank you for inviting us. I'm excited to be here.
All right. Well, let's get started here. Let's do the big reason. Let's go to the big reason we're talking about it. Why is mental health so important? Why is it so important?
So mental health is currently on the rise. We are about 1 in 5 individuals across the U.S. now experience a mental health crisis or some kind of mental health diagnosis. So it's very important that we start bringing the light to this. We've seen an increased suicide rate and attempted suicide rate. Along with in our clinic, we do AODA treatment for opioid addictions and other types of drug abuse. We currently, just in our Aspirus System Behavioral Health Program, we are doing about 12,000 visits a month. So that's a very high number, and we still aren't meeting the needs of our patients. There's still waiting lists at some of our clinics because just the high number of cases of mental health.
It sounds like this is a growing problem. We've heard it all over the place, especially since the pandemic. This has been a topic that's been very much on the rise in the public consciousness. And we want to highlight it here in the central Wisconsin area, especially the Wisconsin Rapids area here. And so let's take a look at the partnership you have with the Aspirus Riverview Foundation and the rest of the community. And how important is that going forward?
So this partnership that we've created with the Riverview Foundation is very important. We've created what's called a behavioral health fund that assists patients that are in financial hardship and cannot afford either treatment or other things that they may need in their life. So this we're raising money for our donor from our donors to give that back to our community. This money that is raised in our behavioral health fund is all kept local in the Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities, which is wonderful. This has been a partnership also with the Legacy Foundation in our community. So some of the things that we've been supporting patients with are things like gas cards, so patients can travel to their appointments. We've been providing taxi rides. We have patients that can't get to their appointments, so we set up a taxi ride. We even have kids taking taxi rides. If their parents don't have modes of transportation, we have kids getting in a taxi on their own and coming for their outpatient therapy appointments. We are giving things like medication assistance. We help pay prescription copays at our local pharmacies. We have a great partnership with Daily Drug. We're very fortunate how supportive they have been to our behavioral health program. We are providing things for like anxiety, fidget toys for kids. It's very helpful to them. So with the funds from the foundation, we are able to provide those fidget supplies or fidget toys. We also are providing art supplies, especially to a lot of our kids. We have a lot of children coming to our clinic that are in low-income situations that their families aren't able to afford art supplies. And one of our behavioral therapists works hard with these kids on drawing pictures, using pencils, other art supplies. So that's been very helpful, and we're very grateful to the donors in our partnership with the foundation.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, you just listed off a whole bunch of stuff there. And you know, this is stuff that I don't think a lot of people think about, that these little needs, like just like you said, fidget toys, something as simple as that, you don't even think about it. There's something that can be helpful, something that small that can be as helpful for this sort of thing. It's amazing that we do have this ability now to find those needs and then be able to partner and provide what is needed in those situations, which is very cool. So I one of the things, of course, the Lights of Love, the lights that we're doing here, these, of course, are based donation. People donate money for the lights. in order to help the foundation and then all the funding that goes on to a lot of the, what you just were talking about. And so that's one of the big reasons that we're here, of course. And so it's, I guess, a beacon of hope for those facing mental health challenges and losses. What are other ways that you're trying to expand community consciousness of this?
So we have started to build with our clinic, with our Spires Behavioral Health Clinic, with the Wood County Jail. We've also built, so we've built a partnership with them, and we've also built a great partnership with the Wisconsin Rapids School District. One of the ways the foundation is helping support our inmates at the jail is by providing journals for the inmates. So about 5 years ago, we were seeing an increasing amount of mental health at our jail. So we went into a partnership about a year and a half ago to provide mental health services on site. So I currently have a full-time therapist there and a part-time therapist. And we provide 5 to 6 days a week coverage with working with the inmates and helping them work through some of the mental illness they're experiencing, and also helping them prepare for when they leave the jail to be successful out in the community and to hopefully reduce them coming back to the jail. And we also work with those individuals on setting them out for outpatient treatment once they leave the jail for mental health.
Boy, if there's anything that we can do to stop the revolving door of that, that is a marvelous thing. I'm glad to hear. Again, this is not something that we've heard a lot about. I mean, do many people in this community know about that? I don't know. That's what we're doing this for. We want to get the word out to the community, not only of what the foundation is doing in partnership with behavioral health. We'll be talking with Nikki again here in just a few minutes about the Cancer Center as well. So she'll be sticking around for that. But before we leave the mental health thing here, is there anything else you wanted to say while you're here, while we're at this specific event, that you wanted to say to the community at large?
I just think we really want the community to be aware of how prevalent mental health is in our community. You'll see that we're having attempted suicides on a daily basis. Unfortunately, we've had some recent suicides in the Wood County region and Marathon County region that have been very tragic. And we just want to make light to reach out to people that you care about and offer support and try to refer them for resources to their primary care provider or to our mental health clinic. Within Aspirus, we have multiple clinics throughout Wisconsin and in the UP of Michigan. We have a clinic as down as south as Portage, Wisconsin, and as more as north as Iron River in Michigan. So we really want to get the word out how important it is. The support that we've received for our donors, I can't thank enough. It's been absolutely wonderful. Some of the other things that we've helped patients with are rental assistance when they were going to be evicted. We've helped with therapy lights for seasonal depression in the winter. Those can be very beneficial. We've helped with weighted blankets for both kids and adults for anxiety. We've helped with pill cases. Some people have struggled with managing medication, so we've been able to purchase pill cases and help them set up their medications. They can come into our clinic and work with our nurse even to get those set up weekly or monthly. So I just want to say a big thank you for the support. We greatly appreciate it, and all of the work that we are doing is making a difference in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding communities.
Thank you so much, Nikki. We do appreciate that, of course, that update on the behavioral health part of Aspirus Riverview. We're going to ask you to stick tight. Sit tight, because we've got you coming up again here in just a few minutes. And we'll talk about the Cancer Center at the Riverview, at Aspirus Riverview Cancer Center here. Another very important topic. We'll get into that as we come back in just a few minutes here. We're going to take a quick break. We want to let everyone know you are listening to a live broadcast here at the 21st Annual Lights of Love Lighting Tree Lighting Ceremony. We are here once again this year, braving the elements to bring it to you on WFHR. We hope you are enjoying it. I hope you're warm wherever you are and listening to this. If you're at home, of course, you can come down here. The ceremony is going to start at about 5:30, and we'll be broadcasting the whole thing on the air. If you want to stay somewhere warm, you can drive in your car to the parking lot. Keep it tuned to WFHR. That's 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. If you want to do that, you can do that. You can come outside. And check it out. When we light up the tree, it's going to be very, very cool. So that's coming up very shortly. Once again, we'll be talking to Nikki Williams when we come back here on WFHR. We're going to take about a two-minute break here, everybody. And we'll be back on Locally Grown Radio in just a couple minutes. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to a live broadcast from Aspirus Riverview Hospital. We are just outside the emergency room here. We are waiting for the 21st annual lighting of the Lights of Love tree lighting ceremony. That'll be coming up at about 5:30. We got about an hour left before that starts, but thanks for joining us anyway, everybody. We've got a lot of great interviews coming up here with different people associated with the Aspirus Riverview Foundation and a lot of the things that they do here, and we're really excited to bring you that. But of course, the big thing is when the tree lighting ceremony happens, about 5:30 or so, come on down. If you want to bundle up and come on outside and watch it from out here, we will welcome you there. If you want to stay in your car and listen on the radio, of course, we love you to do that as well. Or just stay at home where it's nice and warm. Get your cocoa, your tea, whatever it is. I'm suddenly really wishing I had something warm to drink all of a sudden. I'm not sure why. So up next, we're going to be talking again with Nikki Williams. She was here for the last segment as well. But this time, she's going to put on her hat for the Aspirus Riverview Cancer Center. And so we are going to be talking about some a few things that they have, especially right now. We're going to talk about their patient experience, the impact of funds, including their new virtual reality program that was implemented this year. Now, this is fascinating. I want to hear about this.
Well, this year, the Cancer Center has implemented, based from the foundation funds, virtual reality goggles. So this allows for patients to look into a computer providing real-time animation. You can choose settings like being on a beach, sitting in a serene setting like by a lake, in a chair, watching a sunrise.
Not in this weather.
Yeah, it's hard to visualize right now. So we bought these virtual reality goggles to really help reduce anxiety for patients going through cancer treatment. You can teach a lot of skills to patients like meditation or try to take yourself to a place that makes you feel relaxed, but sometimes it's very difficult for patients to shut their minds off and not have those racing thoughts and feelings of worry about their treatment. These virtual reality goggles have shown through multiple studies across the country to really help reduce that anxiety and help people go to those places to relax and not be so focused on their anxiety and what their worries are. So these glasses have just been a wonderful addition for the patients in the cancer center. They're most often used with radiation patients. A lot of people receive anxiety going into the machine, or you could use these when you're receiving chemotherapy and sitting in the chair. So it's really been to provide an immersive experience so that people can learn to relax and reduce anxiety for the patients. So as we talked about in the last segment of mental health, there is a big partnership with healthcare and treating the whole person, both the mental health and the whole patient, and which is what we're doing in the Cancer Center to help reduce anxiety. So this is very exciting. These were funded by grant funds from the foundation. So again, a big shout out to our donors, a big thank you, because you are making a difference to the patients in the Wisconsin Rapids area that are receiving care at the Riverview Cancer Center. So thank you.
We do want to remind everyone as well that the lights here that are going to be lit up on the tree later tonight, those were also part of this fundraising apparatus for the foundation. And we're listening. That's why we're talking to Nikki right now, is to get an idea of what they've been using some of their funds for. That sounds like an absolutely amazing thing to give cancer patients any kind of relaxation thing. We know I don't think there's a lot of people out there that haven't been touched by cancer in some way, and they know how hard the treatments are. They know how hard recovery is after the treatments, and anything that can make the patient feel better, feel more comfortable, feel more at ease, feel like they're healing. I think everyone is all in for that. I think everyone is very happy to help out in that. So just so you know, if you are not a donor to the foundation, this is some of the stuff you can do. If this sounds good to you, well, there you go. You've got a pretty good idea of where the money is going right now. We also would like to talk a little bit about, and I'm sorry, I didn't talk to Nikki about this beforehand, so I don't know if she knows much about this, but we'll see. It sounds like we've got a new doctor joining the Cancer Center. Is that correct?
Actually, for everyone in the community that may have be familiar with our Cancer Center, we did have a new doctor join us. However, it's somebody that's familiar to a lot of you, and that is Dr. Anna Olson. Dr. Anna Olson was a radiation oncologist at this Cancer Center for several years, and she had relocated with her family, and we are very excited to announce that she has just returned to this area in the last month and a half. So we are blessed to have Anna Olson back with us providing radiation treatment in our cancer center. So a big shout out to Anna. And also, I think patients and families need to be aware of this. So if they're thinking about where they should get treatment, Anna is back in the clinic.
Well, that is wonderful news. That's really cool when someone comes back and with a newly minted, I'm guessing a newly minted doctor, which is very, very cool. Get to come back to her old stomping grounds. That's wonderful. And plus the added bonus, like you were referring to there, there's a lot of people that know her, and that's great. That's got to feel really good to not only for the Cancer Center, but for her family as well, being able to return to that. That is very cool. So we did touch on the virtual reality goggles a little bit. Can you talk a little bit more about what the Cancer Center can offer to patients while they're going through their treatments?
Yes, so the Cancer Center offers here in Wisconsin Rapids both chemotherapy and radiation treatment, and they also can refer you to a larger center if needed. But otherwise, we can provide most of that treatment here right in our own community. A lot of patients really appreciate that because it's easy to get to. You can pull right up to the door versus a large cancer center in other communities where you have to park a long ways away and travel across a large campus. Here, you can pull right up to the door, and the Cancer Center door is right inside. So I know patients really appreciate that. The foundation donors are also helping again with some of the similar things that we talked about in the last segment with mental health. And the Cancer Center, the funds are again helping with gas cards, taxi rides. They've helped with rental assistance. They helped with medical supplies. Sometimes people in the Cancer Center are struggling with getting the needed calories so they help with oral supplements like Ensure or Boost for people that can't afford it. There's medical supplies, like maybe somebody needs help paying for bandages that they can't afford. The Cancer Center, the foundation dollars can help pay for something like that.
Again, and we did touch on that a little bit with the behavioral, with the mental health. Same kind of thing. They're doing the same thing. They're helping with these little things that pop up. People who are in need of more help to get here for transportation, other things that they may not be able to afford, or find different ways to help them out. Those little things that we don't think. The big thing is the treatment, of course. We all know that. That's the big important thing. But because of everything that comes along with it, of course, that's very important as well. So is there anything else you wanted to say before we wrap up this segment, Nikki, before we finally let you go so you didn't have to stand out here and freeze for a little bit longer? Is there anything else you wanted to say?
The only thing else I'd just like to reiterate again is just a big thank you to this community and all of our donors. We are forever grateful, and you really are. Your dollars are really making a difference to the community members of Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding region.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Nikki. We'll let you go and move around a little bit, see if we can't get some circulation back in again. I just want to let people know what's coming up here. What we have coming up for the next, about 45 minutes or so as we get ready. If my papers don't blow away here. Oh, this is good. Okay, there we go. It's live radio, everybody. You never know what's going to happen here. We got coming up here, we're going to be talking with some teachers from RAMS at about 6 o'clock. We've got a couple teachers. We're going to be talking about some essays to the foundation the top 12 essays to the foundation with some of the students that hopefully will be able to join us and actually read their essays on the air. And that we're looking at about 5 o'clock. I'm sorry, about 5 o'clock we'll be doing that as well. So stay tuned for that. We've got a few more things coming up here before we hit 5 o'clock here, before we hit the top of the hour. But we're going to continue to broadcast here until about 5:30, and that is when the ceremony will be starting. We have a whole program, about a half an hour long, that you can join us for. We're going to have a welcome message, a blessing. We're going to have some music. We're going to have another student essay. The winner will be reading it. We're going to have a community message as well. And we got lots more coming up. So if you are interested in joining in on the Lights of Love ceremony, the 21st annual Lights of Love tree lighting ceremony, coming up at about 5:30, come on down and join us. We got the field open here. You can see the tree here, the large tree right outside the emergency room. We got all the lights ready to go, and we can't wait to light that up. We also have, if you don't want to get out of your car, if you want to stay somewhere warm, well, we got you covered. Just listen right on these airwaves, WFHR. You can sit in your car. You can watch the tree lighting without being cold. Or if you want to stay home and stay warm that as well, of course, you can do that. Just keep listening to WFHR. We'll be seeing what we have coming up here in just a few minutes. So stay tuned, everybody, to 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. You're listening to WFHR, locally grown radio. All right. We are back live here at the light. Sorry, Steph, I'm standing up. I got to move around a little bit. It's cold out here, everybody. So if you come on down here, make sure you move around, too, if you want to come out here and watch the tree lighting ceremony. It's going to happen. The ceremony starts at 5:30, everyone. So come on down before then if you want to actually see the tree lit up right before your eyes. If you want to drive on down in your car and watch it and listen on the radio at WFHR, that, of course, works just as well. But you'll get to be here and you'll get to see it for there. And we've had some really great interviews starting here. We're going to interview our head, I don't know, what is your title again?
Marketing specialist.
Marketing specialist. Okay, Steph. It's changed a few times. I can't remember what it is. But of course, she's on our end, on WFHR's end. She's the one that sets this up. So we'll talk to her a little bit about it as well. Before we do that, though, we do have a quick statement that we would like to read. This is from... Let me see. I get the wind here. Let's see. Okay, now I got it. Okay, this is a statement about a special thank you statement, and I'll read this right now. Through the generosity of the donors, partners, and businesses, the Aspires to Riverview Foundation's Lights of Love tree lighting ceremony, a beloved community tradition has honored and remembered loved ones for over 20 years. Thank you, Richie and Feldner Richie Funeral Homes, for honoring lives and celebrating memories. Thank you, Solaris, for your commitment to making Central Wisconsin a great place to live, work, and do business. Thank you to Current Technologies for keeping the beacon of hope shining bright through the holiday season. A big thank you there. Now, you heard mention on that Solaris. Solaris is here, and you know what? They're giving out cookies. That is correct. They've got cookies here, everyone. So if you needed any incentive, bring your own hot chocolate. You'll have to do that. Bring your own hot chocolate. But go ahead and grab a cookie here. That'll help warm you up as well. So now I'm going to turn to Steph Schmidt here, who is, like I said, our marketing specialist here at WFHR. She's still here. We're still here. All the changes that have happened the last few months. We're still working through all the new things with the new management, new ownership, and everything. But Steph, you were a part of this last year. You set it up again this year. You're the liaison for everything. What's this for you? I mean, what do you like about this event?
Well, what I like about this event and a lot of our community events is just what it does for the community, bringing people together, building community camaraderie, spreading positivity in our community. It's just, you know, a wonderful thing to have in Wisconsin Rapids. And also with the Lights of Love tree, it's just a really good time of year too, with Thanksgiving around the corner. If you haven't heard Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas, well, everyone knows Christmas is just following that.
I just wanted to know. This is not karaoke, Steph.
I can't sing today. That's unfortunate. Don't worry. We have a wonderful singer coming up, and is 10 times better than what I... The Little Frozen singer. So bear with us as we're trying to talk to you through the frozen tundra. All right, we're not in Green Bay. But anyways, back to the Lights of Love Tree. I think it's just beautiful for what it stands for, you know, remembering those who we have lost, who maybe have struggled with things in their life, you know, cancer-related and whatnot. It's just a great way to, you know, remember and honor, and especially while you're out and about the next few days, next few weeks, and traveling for Thanksgiving, make sure you look to the Lights of Love Tree and remember.
Because we do want to remind everyone, it's going to stay lit through the holiday season. So every time you drive by here, you will see that. And we hope you do think about someone, a memory of someone that was special to you, or someone that's still alive. Honor them. Think about that person, even if they are still with us. Because that's what these lights were. They were donations by people who wanted to honor or to memorialize people that they loved. Maybe they were going through cancer treatments. Maybe they lost them to cancer and other things like that. But it's but we've also been talking about what those donations go to. When you donate to the Riverview Foundation, the Aspires Riverview Foundation, it goes to all these wonderful things we've been talking about, the cancer center, the mental health stuff that they do. We talked about the auxiliary. Now the auxiliary will be closing up shop because they've kind of been they've done what they needed to do, and now they're just wrapping it up, but they still need volunteers and that sort of thing. That's kind of what the auxiliary did. But we've been hearing from all these groups and how the foundation helped them, and how the foundation helps everybody who comes through these doors, especially, like you said, the cancer center and everything like that. We are kind of we're going to be doing some interviews very shortly with, hopefully, we've got a couple of teachers coming up here from RAMS, the sixth grade teachers. We're going to be talking about some essays that some of the students did. They turned in 12 essays, and we're going to hopefully have some of the kids come out and read those essays over these airwaves, and I think that's very cool. I remember we did that last year, and it was very great. I know we got a lot of great feedback.
One of my favorite parts of the broadcast was listening to those essays. These kids are very clever, very creative.
Yes, they are, including when we get to the ceremony, we'll have the person who won the essay was chosen as the winner. We'll have that person come and read them as well. And as we get a little bit closer here, and let's see here. I don't have any clocks anymore. Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay. So we do have a few minutes here before we keep going. So I'll just keep yammering away at what's going on down here. But I encourage you, if we know it's cold. Look, we're out here right now. We know it's very chilly. It's very windy. The good news is the snow has stopped. So that's good, right? Yeah, that's good news. We got cookies here. Lots of, man, that's a lot of cookies. Come on, everybody.
The cookies are practically the size of my face. So if you have a big, strong sweet tooth, please come down. There is buckets full.
We have a couple. We have several buckets full, yes.
Buckets full of cookies, guys. So, you know, if anything, come down here, grab a cookie, get back in your car. You know, we are making this very easy for you to stay warm. We are Wisconsinites. We are out here in the cold because it is a great cause. And you know what? I'll do this again next year, snow or shine. I'm hoping for shine.
It would be nice to one year do it where it's not quite so cold. That would be really nice. Yeah, can we do it in July? Can we convince them to do that? I know it's supposed to be Lights of Love and Christmas and holiday season and all that, but come on. Maybe we get Christmas in July. Let's pitch that to them next time, Steph.
We should spread the love every month of the year.
That's right. We don't need to do it now. We can do it later. Oh, goodness. This is the cold is turning our brain to mush. That's what's happening right now, everybody. But this is live radio, and we love it. So if you want to come on down, we are here. We are broadcasting live. 21st Annual Lights of Love Tree Lighting Ceremony. Oh, we do want to give a shout out to the Wisco Tree Team. They're not here tonight, but they were the ones that set up the lights on the tree. So we want to give a shout out to them as well. It would have been great to have been able to talk to them, but they're smart. They're not here in the cold. They figured out, oh, we're not coming to that. No, I'm kidding. I just... don't take that. They did not say that. Anyway, come on down if you want to stay in your car, like Steph just said. We can come out here. You can grab a cookie. You can go back in your car. Hopefully you have something warm to drink. And you can listen to the whole ceremony from your car, and then when the trees lit up, you can watch it there while you're listening in your nice warm car. We will not hold it against you, even though we are Wisconsinites. We are going to take a quick break here. We'll be back here in a few minutes, and hopefully soon we'll have a few people to read some essays, and we'll be talking with some teachers as we continue here. Lights of Love, 21st annual, happening very soon, everybody, here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And once again, we are back live here at the Lights of Love tree lighting ceremony. Everyone, I hope you're having a wonderful evening. It is a bit chilly. It is a bit chilly out here, everybody, but that's okay. We are warmed by the lights that will be lit very soon. And we are very happy to be broadcasting live from here. Very soon, we will be having some students that wrote some essays about that. We'll be broadcasting them very soon here. We're going to go up to the top of the hour, and then we're going to play a little bit of news. And then when we come back, we will get them on the airwaves here, so you can hear some of the essays that they penned for the foundation. And it's very cool. So we are very much looking forward to that. Then at 5:30, the ceremony will start. We have some speakers. We have some music that's going to be played. We have some people singing. It's going to be very exciting. You're not going to want to miss it. If you're brave enough to come out here and go and get a cookie from Solaris here, the courtesy of them, we will welcome you out here. We actually got a few more people coming out here right now, which is very cool. But if you want to stay in your car and listen on the radio during the ceremony, that's good too. So we do want to encourage people to come on down to watch the ceremony, either outside here around the tree, or if you want to do it from your car, keep listening to 97.5 FM, 1320, 97.5 FM. Oh my gosh, my brain is really going on me here. It's too cold. But 1320 AM, and we will welcome you to come out. Excuse me. And we are ready for that as well. I think what we're going to do right now is I'm going to send it back to Don in the studio. He is going to play a Christmas song for us going to the top of the hour as we get everything set up here. We have some technical stuff we have to do as well to make sure that the music sounds good and everything is going well. So we're going to turn it over to Don. Don, if you want to go ahead and play a little music for us going for the news. And then after that, we'll be back here at Lights of Love here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. We are broadcasting live from just outside the Spires Riverview Hospital for the 21st annual Lights of Love tree lighting ceremony that will be coming up very briefly in about a half hour. We've got 5:30. The ceremony is going to start. We're going to have some speakers. We're going to have some music. Hopefully my mouth won't freeze up before we get there so I can keep talking. We are going to have a couple more interviews here in just a minute, but we do want to encourage people to come down here for the ceremony if you want to come out and gather by the tree. We do have a few people, brave souls, that are out here braving the weather. If you want to stay in your car and listen on WFHR, you're welcome to do that as well, and you can watch them light the tree from the warmth of your vehicle. Right now, though, we're going to talk to a couple of sixth grade teachers over at RAMS. We have some students here that wrote some essays that were submitted to the foundation. So we have teachers Paige Jackin and Amanda Mantic here, and we're going to talk a little bit about those essays. First of all, thank you so much for joining us today in this lovely evening. We do appreciate you coming out in the cold for this, but let's start off with what is the process of these essays? We are kind of curious about the top 12 essays were submitted to the foundation, and they were reviewed by a small group of auxiliary members, and they choose the winning one in the process. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we have all of the sixth graders at RAMS. We give them the opportunity to write a paper about giving and what giving means to them. And we let this be a free write. So the kids have a bunch of different ways to express themselves through their writing. They can choose if they want to create a poem, an essay, tell a story. We really like to give the kids an option and a way to express themselves through their writing.
Very, very cool. That is a very good opportunity. I remember last year we did this same thing. We had the students come in and read their essays, and I'm looking forward to hearing them, everybody. No pressure. Just when you come up to do that. So why do you guys have your students participate in this? What is this all about for them?
Well, it's just a really good opportunity for them to just share things that they've done in the community or what other people can do in the community, because we really like to spread the kindness at RAMS, and it was just really fun watching and reading these kids writing as they're working, and just I learned a lot about the students, like things they've done in the community, and it was just really cool being able to see them go through that. So
very cool. Yes, and we are very excited to be able to share that today. So after the kids did this, you know, they went through the process of writing this and everything. What did they tell you? What did they think of it after it was all said and done?
Yeah, so it was really cool. We actually, before we even start the writing process, we do a group brainstorm where we just write on the board a bunch of different ways that we see giving around us, ways we can give to others, maybe some things about receiving. And it's just a really great way to get that started. And then once they start writing, it's so cool because they're sharing their ideas with each other and they're reading each other's writing, and just you can really see that kindness throughout them as they're going on with their writing process.
That's very cool. We do appreciate them doing that. So let's see what time we got here, if I can. Okay, let's go ahead and let's get a couple of the students to actually read their essays as they all back away. No, where are you going? No, we're gonna get you up here. So we got one brave soul. She's stepping right up here. I admire that very much. So go ahead, introduce yourself, and then go ahead and read your essay.
Hi, I'm Sydney Mazurek, and my essay is called What the Community Means to Me. The community is a big topic that I think more people should think about. Some people think more about getting service than doing service. We should be doing service for the people that actually need it, like nursing homes and families with a new child. I have done some community service by raking leaves at someone's house that is in need or planting flowers at a nursing home. We need to start doing things for the community to make it a better place to live. Why is the community so important? The community is very important because whatever we do with our community is what it is going to be known for, so we have to take good care of it. Here are some ideas to get you started. You could pick up trash, make dinner for someone, shovel someone's driveway, or mow their lawn. It can be tough to get started, but I hope you try something to make our community a better place to live. I encourage you to try and start doing things for the community. It doesn't have to be a huge change, but even smiling at one person can make a difference. I hope you go and do something to change this community, because once you do, you never know what could happen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That was very good. We do appreciate that. And so we have our next soul coming up. All right, let's go. So go ahead, just do the same thing. Go ahead and introduce yourself, and then go ahead and just read your essay.
Hi, I'm Natalie Roblin. I'm a sixth grader at Rams, and my story is called What Giving Means to Me. Giving. I used to not like giving. Giving to me would always make me upset because I wasn't the one receiving. But now that I'm older, I now understand what giving actually means and why people give. To me, giving is not about what you give. It is about how you make the receiver feel. To me, giving is a great thing to do. A gift does not have to be big to make someone happy. You can give someone the smallest gift at a party, but it can still be their favorite gift they got. This shows that because the gift is small or even just a homemade bracelet, it can be something more than you intended. A gift does not have to be a donation of money or a car, but it can be as small as a bracelet or a necklace, or even as tiny as a compliment. You never know what someone is going through, so even a compliment as small as "you look nice today," or "I like your handwriting," or even sitting by them at lunch. That is what giving means to me.
All right. Thank you, Natalie. Appreciate that. All right. All right. Well, before we get to... Oh, sorry. We're going to have to hold off for a second. We do have to take a quick break. Yeah, don't worry. We'll get to you. We're going to have a couple more essays to read here in just a couple of minutes. We do have to take a quick 2-minute break. That's it. And then we'll come back to the Lights of Love ceremony. Please come back and join us. We got a couple more essays to read, everybody. And then we've got the ceremony in about 15 minutes as well. Stay tuned here to WFHR as we continue on through the 21st Annual Lights of Love ceremony here on Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everyone. We are broadcasting live from just outside Aspirus Riverview Hospital for the Lights of Love tree lighting ceremony that'll be happening, in just about 15 minutes or so. We're very excited to be broadcasting here tonight. The tree will be lit up here in about 45, 50 minutes when we come to the end of the ceremony. You'll get it all here. If you want to come on down, we have a decent number of people out here. You are all brave, brave souls. I give you credit for being out here today, everybody. Come get a cookie. Solaris has provided us with some cookies, everyone. So come on, get that. Get that warming up by chewing a little bit. I think I need to do that. My mouth is starting to freeze up. So if you want to stay in your car and listen, I would actually advise you to do that. You can also watch the trees as they light up here as well. We have a few more essays that we want to get through here from some sixth graders at Rams. And so up next, we're going to have our next presenter. We're going to have her introduce herself and then just read her essay.
Hi, I'm Lily Schmidt, and this is my poem called Heart. I gave one time, it warmed my heart and made me feel happy. Now I know what it feels like when I see other people give, like when I see people helping people rake their yard and mow the grass, helping with homework and with groceries, even small things like holding the door, saying please and thank you. I see all the good people can do, and I hope people can find the good in themselves and inspire other people too. This is what giving the community means to me and how I feel and what comes to my mind.
Oh, thank you so much, Lily. That was great. All right, we've got some poetry as well. Oh, my goodness, that is wonderful. Looks like we have one more here, and we're going to, for now, I believe we have one more during the ceremony as well, so stay tuned for that. All right, go ahead, introduce yourself, and go ahead and read what you got.
Hi, I'm Eva Robinson, and I'm a sixth grade student at Rams. And this is what giving to the community means to me. Help some people, save some tears, let them know that we are here, have them realize that we can help. By giving and helping, just keep your head up. We can comfort, we can give. Giving and helping is very supportive. Donate the money and get some love. Love in return is always above. Care about others or even be nice, because caring for others is well worth the price. I feel helping is a nice thing to do, and that's why I think you should really help too.
All right. Oh, I love the creativeness. Thank you so much, everybody. We do appreciate that. So we are getting ready to come up here. I just realized that we have not interviewed the organizers of this. because they're busy organizing right now. Oh, wait, no, she's not. She can come over here. It's like, you know, you're not getting out of this. Come on now. We have a few minutes before we're going to start the ceremony. So first of all, because I don't have it written in front of me, you're going to have to introduce yourself because I apologize. And my brain is, again, freezing up. But go ahead and let everyone know who you are and what you're doing, why you're a part of this.
Sherry Evenson, and I'm the executive director of the Aspirus Riverview Foundation.
Thank you, Sherry. I'm sorry. I know her name, but it's just not coming to me right now. So, Sherry, you're the director here of the foundation. You're the one that helped set up this, of course, Lights of Love, all of this that's going on here. So tell us, how important is this specific event for you?
Extremely important. It's not just about the fundraising. It really is the community spirit, and it's about inclusion and involving everyone and anyone, and just a demonstration of our community and the giving and the sense of community and support from each other, especially when sometimes you're at your most vulnerable position. So yeah, very important. It warms my heart to see everyone coming out. I know that's hard to believe in this cold weather, but
can it warm my toes? That's what I want to know.
I could get close. So absolutely.
Very good. Thank you for that. And I also I'm curious, so a little bit of your background here. How long have you been with the foundation? And you're the director, of course. So what is your role entail?
A lot of fun. I get to work with a lot of great people. I am a department of one, but it never feels like that. So I've been with the foundation a couple years, but born and raised here and a long-term employee of Aspirus Riverview Hospital. So working on 20 years with them. So very committed and loyal to the community. Just really great to be a member and rooted here as well. So yeah.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. So Sherry's the one we're going to talk to about getting this done in July. Yeah. So we don't have to come out here again for this. No, we kid, of course. This is the holiday season. This kind of, actually, this is one of the kickoffs, if you ask me, to the holiday season. So we do appreciate you inviting us to come out here for this, of course. And the fact that we get to broadcast this to so many people that they absolutely can stay nice and warm. Absolutely. They don't have to come outside. Yes. Like the rest of us people that, well, and I have to do it because I'm getting paid, but but the rest of these people do not. So there I give them all the credit in the world.
I think it's another example of how you were able to reach more members of the community and also be able to share it with those that are perhaps outside of the community and unable to be here tonight. And it still means so much and a lot of times helps bring closure and just, you know, bring back some really good memories and connection to the community. So I appreciate your partnership, and I think it's just, yeah, a wonderful, wonderful thing. Again, something that truly warms my heart. So.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I do want to remind people that that is one of the main things that Lights of Love is all about, of course. This is an honoring people. This is about memorializing people. That's what these lights are for, the donations for these lights. And we've been talking all evening about where that money goes, where the foundation, what they support. So it means a lot. It really does mean a lot. We've got the cancer center. We've got the mental health aspect that we've been talking about and all that. So we really do appreciate what the foundation does around here. And, you know, we keep coming back to it. Community, that's what it is all about, because we got all these people out here from the community, and we really are glad everyone's able to join us. So we do still have a few minutes here before we are going to get to the ceremony. But we are going to, mostly just so I can find some place to get warm for a few minutes. But yeah, let's grab a cookie. That's right. I'm going to start chewing with my jaw going again here. So we're going to be coming back here shortly to go ahead at 5:30 sharp. We are going to start the ceremony. So that's about 7 minutes away here, everybody. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back and then we'll wrap up this part of it. And then we'll get to the ceremony very, very shortly. And so stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to WFHR, locally grown radio. All right, everyone. We are at the big moment here. It is 5:30. We are now going to start the tree lighting ceremony for the 21st annual Lights of Love ceremony. Thanks for joining us, everyone, either here in person or if you are listening on your radio. We are getting ready to go here. We're going to start off with a introduction here with a brief welcome and do the Pledge of Allegiance from Brian Keefe.
Thank you, Seth. And good evening and welcome to the 2022 Aspyrus Riverview Foundation Lights of Love Tree Lighting Ceremony. I appreciate all the brave souls standing out here in the cold. As Seth said, my name is Brian Keith, and I'm the newly appointed president at Aspyrus Riverview Hospital, and it is truly my honor to open this ceremony tonight. Although this is my first experience with this Lights of Love ceremony, I've been part of similar ceremonies throughout my career. And I know that this is a very special special time. It's special to everyone involved. And we have the Aspyrus Riverview Hospital Auxiliary to thank for that, for establishing this tradition over 20 years ago. A tradition that's now really supported by an entire community, and that's what makes this so special and so unique, in my opinion. I'd say that, and the fact that I think you all have a serious go big or go home style, because I have never seen a Lights of Love ceremony with a tree that big or with that many lights. So that's totally cool. And I think we need to remember that while the lights are spectacular, I think we need to recall that we're gathered here to remember and honor those who have had an impact on our lives and on our community. The lights are a symbol of that remembrance. I'm told that last year we relocated to this tree after some 18 years with other trees on the property that are now gone. Let's remember that as beautiful and majestic as those trees were, and this one is now, its purpose is to serve as a reminder for us, a reminder for us to keep the memory of our loved ones alive within us. Trees will perish. However, those we hold dear can live on within us and live on within future generations when we take these moments to keep their memory and their spirit alive. You know, I began my leadership of Aspyrus Riverview Hospital in just April of this year, and I was quickly impressed with the sense of community I felt amongst the team of dedicated caregivers right over here at the hospital and our clinics. But you know what? It didn't stop there. I noticed it in coffee shops and restaurants, at the grocery store, at gas stations, pretty much everywhere I frequented. You know, we're fortunate to have the Aspyrus Riverview Foundation to proudly carry on this ceremony. But we're equally fortunate to be surrounded by the communities we serve who truly know what it means to be a community and also to be in community with each other. It's because of the support from all of you, those community partnerships with our foundation, that we can make a difference in the lives of those facing health challenges. Our community partnerships in the last year's and from last year's proceeds for this event directly support local community-based programs focused on substance use, behavioral health, food systems, and cancer needs. Because of you, the lights of love will shine brightly throughout this holiday season. Our loved ones, those who came before us, who established this sense of community, will live in our memories. These lights serve as a reminder to honor them by living our lives on the example they set for us. We now invite you to please turn your attention to the flag in the far corner of the far west corner of the parking lot to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Seth?
Thank you very much, Brian. Do appreciate it. I do want to invite the Reverend Lonnie to step forward here to deliver a blessing for us. Do we have that? Oh, there we go. Hello, you're here. All right, here you go.
Thanks. If you would all join me for just a word of prayer, please. Most holy God, we're gathered here this evening to honor and to remember people. Some are family and some are friends. The lights on this tree symbolize those memories. A quote from Mary Crowley, who was an entrepreneur in our country and passed away from cancer, had a saying that came to mind tonight. Life to me is no brief candle. It's a burning torch to be passed on. We pray that these lights represent the candle that lights the torches in each one of us. And may the memories be the drive to make this a better place to live. May the funds raised by the foundation be used to keep the torches burning in our community. May they continue to help those in need. May they provide comfort and care. May they provide hope for the future. We're grateful for knowing the people these lights represent. Lord, make us better human beings because of them. And we thank you as we ask you to bless all that's represented here tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you very much, Reverend. I am now going to quickly turn it over to Pam Ross and Sarah as they will grace us with a song.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I'd like to invite Emily up here. Oh, there she is, to read her essay, The Greatest Thing to Give.
The greatest thing to give and receive is love and kindness. No matter how many gifts you give or how many you receive, you never know how much they care. Love and kindness is never ending, and there is always room for more. This is what giving means to me.
Thank you very much, Emily. I do appreciate it. Lots of poetry this year. I love it. I want to invite Craig here for the community message. If he is up and here he comes, we'll turn it over to him.
Thank you. My name is Craig Baziner, and I got asked by Sherry to come share my story quick and then talk about community. I had testicular cancer 3 years ago, this last October. 2 years, nothing after I had my surgery. Then early this year, January, February, I got some back pain and went to the doctor and found out that I had my testicular cancer had come back, got into my back, my lymph nodes, into my lungs. In the matter of a couple of weeks, that I quadrupled in size, got to the Spires Cancer Center here. And got treatment, got the chemotherapy there. And one thing I can say about the cancer center is that the people there, from when you enter, the girls, the receptionists there, are always very happy to see you and always make you feel welcome. Even though you could be having a bad day, they cheer you up. The people that do your blood work, all the way down the line, everybody welcomes you and makes you feel really special and helps you through what you're going through. After I got my chemotherapy, unfortunately, my cancer came back and really came back angry, and they had to refer me someplace else. And luckily, my wife had talked to Dr. Einhorn down in Indiana through a testicular cancer support group, and he invented the chemo for testicular cancer. He also did Lance Armstrong's treatment and stuff like that. He was willing to see us. We went down there in August, and he said that I had to have high-dose chemo along with stem cell transplant. So went down to Indiana, got my stem cells taken out of my blood, and then did the high-dose chemo, which is six times stronger than what I did here in Wisconsin Rapids. It pretty much messes up everything. What I've been telling everybody is that they basically poison you to death until they bring you back with your stem cells. They even sang me happy birthday once they put my stem cells back in. Luckily, I was able to handle the treatment really well. Did the treatment. It took about 14 days for my immune system to come back. Then I did another treatment, so I did double stem cell, double chemo, and I'm 2 months past that right now, and everything looks fairly well, but there's no guarantees on anything, just like anything in life. So that's kind of my cancer story, and I know a lot of people have people out there that have been through cancer or been with people that have had cancer in their family. You know how difficult it can be on your family and your friends, and there's a lot of people that are out there that need support still. And my next part of it is the community that I grew up in, and that's what I wanted to share. Before I went down to Indiana to have that treatment, one of my classmates came up to me and told me that the football team in Port Edwards had chose me to do their fundraiser, a blackout cancer game on October 7th, and they would raise funds and give them to me. And I was very humbled and couldn't believe this was happening, because, you know, you don't think about it when you're just going through life at a normal pace. So I didn't know if I'd get back by October 7th for the game. So when I was down in Indiana, people in the community, Port Edwards, my friends, the people in the school were texting me, sending me cards, doing all kinds of different things. And it really made me want to be able to get through my treatment and be able to get back here for that October 7th game. Fortunately enough, everything went really well for me, and I was able to get back here October 1st and attend the game on October 7th. And the football team, along with Almond's football team, raised $2,650 for me, which I in turn donated back to the Cancer Center because they do so many great things to the community. So they fundraise for me. I donated it to the Cancer Center, and it went to the patient fund, which is very important. Like she was talking about, or Sherry was talking about earlier, gets people like insure for extra protein if they can't afford that, get some meals, get some transportation. Very, very important for cancer patients and other people getting treated here. One thing I want to say about our community, the schools are a huge part of our community, and I know the kids that were up here that were just doing the essays, I really appreciate the teachers taking the time and getting the kids to be part of the community, because that's what we all end up being part of, and we have to help each other in the community all the time. I also want to thank Max Ayers, who was the football coach over in Port Edwards, to put the game together, and his team for what they did for me, which in turn helped the Cancer Center. I just can't believe that a small little community like Port Edwards and the kids could raise $2,650 in a short period of time, and what it will do for our community. The other things that I really want to talk about in our community is these events like this. We have, I call them communities within our community. The hospital is a community within our community that's very, very important. The schools are a very important part of our community as a community. We have the McMillan Library. We have now the Aquatic Center. We have all these different little communities around that we can all share and do things. And very, very important. And if you have any extra time and you want to be part of things, you should. Don't be scared. I've always been part of the community and always tried to do as much as I can with the community through the things that I've been part of. And just remember, people need our support. And especially during the holiday season, it can be really difficult for people. Like I said, I was very fortunate to have my family and my wife and all the people in the community backing me up and making this a special time for me. And one thing I forgot to mention about the football game is that the people that showed up for the football game when I got to speak at halftime there all paid attention and were very involved and paid close attention to what I was saying. And that just really warms your heart and makes you feel really special that somebody cares enough and is listening, just like the crowd is here today. So be part of your community. Reach out. Find out what you can help with and make somebody's day special. And thanks for a lot for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you, Craig, very much. Craig will also be the one that's going to flip the switch on the lights. So, yeah, all right. That's going to be great. We're going to get that in just a few minutes. We're going to turn it back over to Pam here really quick for another song.
La 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 you only get one go round. Cause the finish line is 6 feet in the ground. In a race you can win, slow it down. In a world full of hate, be alive. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Oh, don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be light. Yeah, it's hard to live in color when you just see black and white. In a world full of hate, be light.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pam. I think we have reached that moment, everybody. We are getting ready to light up the tree, and we're going to need your help on this one. I believe we're going to need a countdown. We're going to go from 5 down to 1. Let's start it off right now. Are you ready? Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. It has been lit. Oh, we had a little technical difficulties there, everybody. But I do want to say thanks, everyone, for listening. We are going to thank all of our speakers and the performers today. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to thank everyone for coming down. Give yourself a big round of applause, everyone. Sticking it out here in the cold, yes. And a very special thank you. We have a couple of thank yous we do want to give. From the foundation, through the generosity of donors, partners, and businesses, the Aspire Serverview Foundation's Lights of Love tree lighting ceremony, a beloved community tradition, has honored and remembered loved ones for over 20 years. Thanks to Richie and Feldner Richie's Funeral Homes for honoring lives and celebrating memories. Thanks to Solaris for their comments on making Central Wisconsin a great place to live and to work and do business. And also thank you to Current Technologies for keeping the beacon of hope shining bright through the holiday season. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us tonight. We'll see you again next year here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are locally grown radio.